Welcome to Covenant's Pulpit Ministry. Covenant Evangelical Free Church believes that the Bible is the Word of God and that God's Word is vital for life-transforming Christianity. We trust that you will grow to know the Word of God and, more importantly, the God of the Word as you hear this message today. May God bless you as you open your heart to His Word.
I remember the last time that I preached here was last December when we were still trying to get used to the fact that we can no longer walk across the hard court into Greenridge because the gate had been closed, the side gate had been closed, and the hoardings are going up. And God was really preparing and leading us into a new season of partnership between New Life, which was just shown just now, and St. Luke's Elder Care to raise a center here. And of course, the next time that I preach at BPJ, I actually still don't know when that might be, but it might be next year, and it might not even be here. Because most of you know, we are moving to ACSI at Dover so that this premise here can be renovated. And again, I am so excited despite the inconvenience. I know, yes, there'll be inconvenience. I don't stay near Dover, but I'm excited because I am convicted that God is leading, God is preparing, and God is guiding us into a new season of fruitfulness where we can renovate this place and then come back here and together with St. Luke's, together with New Life, to bring the gospel beyond the four walls of this church, right? And indeed, time does fly by so quickly. In fact, 3 months ago, I was just beginning to start this fifth cohort of IDMC Uni, and it was a tiring time, but last month, we just graduated 33 of them, and of course, we're looking forward to see how God will work through them, right, to bring about good fruit from the seed, from the word that has been sown into their lives. Right, so for those of you who don't know me, my name is Guo Yi, and I am an assistant district mentor here at Covenant EFC in Genesis District together with Pastor Darwin. But in my full-time job, I actually serve with BGST. BGST stands for the Biblical Graduate School of Theology, or as we say, if you have problems remembering that, it's Boys and Girls Study Together. Or maybe it's Better Get Some Theology. Okay. So that's where I normally serve and work at. And because the new academic year is starting, my brain has been super messy the last few months trying to plan new courses, launch new pathways, raise funds, wrestle with legal issues and all these different kinds of things, right? And I know that because we are in the middle of the year, I'm probably not the only one that's feeling busy and pressed on all sides. So before we get into God's Word, let me lead us in prayer once more. So, Father, we just come to you acknowledging that there are often so many different things that clutter up our lives, that draw us away. And we pray, Father, that even now, as we open your word, speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the truth of your holy word. Plant it deep in us, cause it to take root and bear fruit, because we are yours and we want to give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, kingdom parables be the soil that bears much fruit. That's my sermon today. And here is where we are in Matthew's gospel, right? We know that there are 28 chapters in the book of Matthew, and we have seen this slide before. There are 5 discourses that are woven into the gospel according to Matthew. And most of us are probably the most familiar with the first one. We call it the Sermon on the Mount, right? That's where you have the Beatitudes. That's where you have famous sayings like, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and we memorize these kind of things. Along the way, there are other discourses as well. So a few weeks ago, we have gone through the missions discourse. Here, we have called it the Kingdom Commission Discourse. And just in the last 2 weeks, we have had Pastor Kirk and Pastor Tim here to preach to us from Matthew chapter 11 and chapter 12. And we have seen through their preaching that Jesus begins to proclaim and demonstrate the kingdom. And as he does so, the opposition is beginning to increase. The tensions are rising. And now we come to a crucial point in the gospel. And as we reach this crucial point, as the tensions are increasing, as the kingdom is going forth in demonstration and proclamation, Jesus does something interesting. He begins to speak in parables. And the whole of Matthew 13 consists of a series of parables. That's why it's called the Parables discourse. And today we're only going to look at the first one. It's called the parable of the four soils. Some of you may know it as the parable of the sower. But before we go on to say, I know already lah, this parable, I know what it's all about. Let me tell you something very interesting. Just yesterday, I was at a preaching class that was taught by Pastor Edmund Chan that BGST was running. And Pastor Edmund Chan, we didn't plan this, he mentioned this parable in Matthew 13 during his class. And Pastor Edmund said, you know, among all of Jesus' parables in the New Testament, this one is the most important. So now I can say, not I say one, Edmund Chan say one. This is the most important parable, and I agree. Because Jesus himself says in the parable that within this parable holds the key to the secret of the kingdom. But because it's a familiar parable to us, I've chosen to approach this sermon in a different way. So instead of a 2-point or 3-point sermon that you're used to, today my sermon only has 1 point. And even better, I'm not going to tell you what that 1 point is. You're just going to have to follow along the sermon. And then at the end, I'm going to ask you what you think the 1 point is. Okay? So just follow along with me. And we're going to see that something very interesting is happening here. I'm going to help you to discover it for yourself by showing you how the five discourses begin. All right? So we're going to play a game here. It's not spot the difference, it's spot the similarity. Right, I'm going to show you how four of the discourses begin, and the task for you is what is similar, right? Let's go. Anyone just shout it out? Anyone? Disciples, thank you. Jesus speaks to the disciples. Now, we're going to play spot the difference. I'm going to show you Matthew 13, 2-3. What's the difference? Large crowds, thank you very much. Yes, indeed. In Matthew 13, Jesus does something different in his discourses. In this case, he speaks to the crowds. Anyone, everyone at this crucial point. And Matthew makes it even clearer by describing where they are at. This is what Matthew says in Matthew 13, verses 1-2. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and he sat by the lake. And then large crowds came to him and gathered around him. He got into a boat and he sat in it. And then he went out a little bit to the sea while the people stood on the shore. What's happening here? Well, around the Capernaum area and the Sea of Galilee, there are little coves similar to this cove that is in the picture here. And what's happening here is there's this cove and then there's a little hill that goes up. Right, and this particular hill goes up about 80 meters, so it's about half the height of Bukit Timah Hill. And what happens is it forms a natural amphitheater. Right, so studies have actually been done in this particular cove, which shows that if you take a boat and go out a little bit into the cove, and then you shout, you can actually talk to about 5,000 people, and they can hear you quite comfortably. But Matthew doesn't tell us this just to tell us a historical location. Matthew is using it to emphasize that Jesus' message here is being amplified. Everyone, pay attention. And lo and behold, when Jesus opens his mouth here, he begins to speak in a parable. Right, that's quite interesting. I'm involved in BGST's publicity and communications, and we try to make things as straightforward and as easy to understand as possible. So for example, you come and ask me, Goyi, what does BGST offer? I'll tell you, well, BGST has just launched 3 new pathways. There's a pathway for those in the marketplace, for those who are serving in ministry, and those who are keen on missions. Very simple. When you come and ask me, I wouldn't tell you, well, there was a farmer who owned 3 plots of land. You know, on this one plot, he grew apple trees. On this plot, he grew lemon trees. And on this plot, he grew pears. You wouldn't do that, right? Keep it straightforward. Be a little bit creative, but make sure that it is terribly clear. So why does Jesus speak in a parable? The answer is that unlike BGST's publicity campaigns, Jesus is not trying to communicate information. Jesus is seeking a deeper transformation. Now, I know I sound terribly cliche now, we've all heard that in Covenant before, but hear me out, right? Here's my favorite explanation of what a parable is. This is by Dr. Klein Snodgrass. Dr. Snodgrass wrote that Jesus' parables are stories with intent, not for entertainment, yeah, with intent, the intent of Jesus. And so the question is, what was Jesus doing with this story? And then he goes on to say that parables are like chisels. There's a chisel there in that picture there. Dong, 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 dong. Chisels to create space and enable people to see the inbreaking of God's kingdom in a first century world. I think that's a wonderful metaphor. Because a chisel is not used to hammer muaji. Right? It's used to hammer something hard, like stone. And that's the point, because that's the state of our hearts. Our hearts. Our heart. And what the parables do is they tell you a story, they draw you in, and the moment you are drawn in, the parables begin to show that they have a sharp edge. And like the chisel hammering away at the stone, the parable hammers away at our hearts to create that space so that from that space, we can embrace God's kingdom. Now, some people think that parables are a bit like Aesop's fables. Okay, the boy who cried wolf. Don't anyhowly cry wolf. Otherwise, next time people don't believe you. Or the tortoise and the hare. If you keep running and don't give up, don't worry. Even you slow, you can overtake faster people. Right? Those are good lessons to learn. But the parables are more than mere moralisms. They go deeper. And this is what Klein Snodgrass says. Klein Snodgrass says that the parables are not merely informative, but like the prophets before him, Jesus told parables to prompt thinking and stimulate a response in relation to God. In other words, it's not about obedience to morals. It's about orientation to God. But if you've understood that, then obviously there's a flip side. Because for people today, as well as in people in Jesus' time, hearing a parable and understanding it is not the nicest thing to do. Right? Why? Because Jesus tells a parable wanting transformation. Transformation requires repentance. True repentance requires change. True change requires pain. So it can be a painful thing to hear Jesus' parables. And in this chapter on parables, Jesus begins it by telling you this foundational parable. And we're going to see that there are two main ways in which people will respond. So if you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, right? Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to read from the NIV. Here is the text. Whoa. Okay, don't panic. The TLDR looks like this, right? There are three panels in the story. The first panel is Jesus tells the parable to everyone. You have seen that. And then in the middle, the disciples come to Jesus and they ask him, why you speak in parables, huh? And then at the end, Jesus comes back and explains to them the parable of the soil. So there are three panels, and it turns out that to understand the parable well, it's kind of easier to start off with the middle panel. The disciples ask Jesus about why he speaks in parables. Okay, so we're going to look at Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 16, and I'm going to read from the NIV, right? Verse 10. The disciples came to Jesus and he asked, why do you speak in parables? Jesus replies, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more and they'll have an abundance. Whoever doesn't have, even what they have will be taken away from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Those seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. And in them is fulfilled this prophecy from Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it. They long to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. So let me point out the obvious point first. Right here, there's a difference between hearing versus hearing and understanding. Right? There's a difference between seeing versus perceiving. So you can hear, but don't understand. you can see, but not perceive. Right? That's here in verse 13 to 14. But this verse that Jesus quotes in 14 and 15 doesn't come out of nowhere. It comes from a very, very famous passage in Isaiah chapter 6. So if you know Isaiah chapter 6, here's Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and there were angels, the seraphim, they were flying around, and they were crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory," and Isaiah knows that he is doomed because he's unclean, and he lives with an unclean people, and so he falls down and he says, "Woe is me, because my eyes have seen the Lord." And then an angel flies to the altar, takes a coal from the altar, comes back to Isaiah, touches his lips, and Isaiah is cleansed. He's forgiven, and that's when God says, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" I hope that's a familiar passage to many of us here. That's Isaiah's commissioning, which we find in Isaiah 6. Now, the thing is, there's many, many things to say here, but I can't dwell in this, right? For the purposes of this sermon, let me just say that there's a catch to this nice commissioning passage that we like to talk about. The catch is that Isaiah 6 comes after Isaiah chapter 5. And you're like, duh. So if you turn back into Isaiah chapter 5, you'll find that there is a parable there. It's a song, it's written like a song, but actually it's a parable. It's a parable about Israel and about how God has done everything for Israel, everything good, everything to provide for Israel. He has provided, and he was looking for fruit, and there was no fruit. So the rest of Isaiah 5 is a lengthy treatise against Israel about woe and judgment, and this is what I will do to you because you have not borne any fruit. And Isaiah's call comes out in the midst of that. Now, you go forward one more verse after Isaiah is called, and this is what God tells him. God says, "Go, tell these people, be ever hearing, but never understanding, be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the hearts of these people callous, make their ears dull, close their eyes, otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understanding with their hearts, and turn and be healed." If that sounds familiar, it's because Jesus quotes it almost exactly when he's explaining why he uses parables. Now, the word that is translated in English here as understand, right? In Matthew, the word understand comes from a Greek word that is not very common in the New Testament. In fact, it appears mostly in the context of this parable in Matthew, in Mark, and in Luke, right? The word is this, sun ye mi, right? And of course, you see some Chinese words on the slide again. I promise this is all the Chinese words that you're going to see on my slides today, right? Sun ye mi is a difficult word to translate. In Greek, they have other words for to understand intellectually or to be smart, right? But in this case, sun ye mi is a word that is often associated with wisdom and revelation. So I like to use this Chinese word here, xing wu, as a better translation of what sun ye mi really means. If you understand Chinese, you know what I mean already. Right? To be sing wu is to be awakened, is to be awakened to a realization from deep inside that leads to a change in posture and direction of your life. And that is what understand here means. It's not an intellectual kind of understanding. So Jesus is really saying that in this parable of the sower, it's possible for two people to see and to hear the kingdom of God being proclaimed and demonstrated. They see the same thing, but one person misses the kingdom entirely. We could also say they could see Jesus doing all the kinds of things and saying all the kinds of things, and they can miss the king entirely. But as Jesus says, blessed are those eyes that truly see and those ears that truly hear. These are the hearts that will embrace the kingdom of God and the word of God. So let me pause here and test you all now, okay? According to Jesus in Matthew, how many kinds of people are there? How many kinds of people are there? Anyone? Hey, Lale. How many kinds of people are there in this passage in Matthew? Four, where do you find the four? Okay, two, yes. Two kinds of people, very simple. The first kind of people are those who hear and see. The second kind of people are those who hear and see. You get it? Okay, very good. Now, we can move back to the parable, right? How many kinds of soil are there? Four, are you sure? Not two, Okay, it's a trick question, right? In the parable, Jesus does indeed talk about four kinds of soils, yes. But actually, there are only two kinds, right? There is the kind of soil in which the word of God doesn't take root and doesn't bear fruit. There is the kind of soil in which the word of God does take root and does bear fruit. Right? You get that? So listen to Jesus' parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some of them fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some of them fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, and because the soil was shallow, the sun came, it scorched the plants, and the plants died. They withered because they had no root. And then there's another kind of seed that falls among the thorns, and as it falls among the thorns grow up and it chokes out the plants. But then there's the seed that falls on the good soil, where it produces a crop 160, 30 times what is sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. So four kinds of soil, which really are just two. But among the not-so-good soils, it reveals the state of the heart. Is the heart ready to receive the kingdom of God proclaimed through the word of God and to perceive the kingdom of God demonstrated through the work of God? So here's the chisel at work, right? Where we begin to see the sharp edge in the parable. Because I can guarantee you that for all of us here, there is some measure of bad soil in us. There is some part of our life that's not surrendered to God. There's some part of our heart that's not open to God. So let's embrace the pain for the moment, right? And take a look at the three kinds of soils or the three kinds of hearts that don't bear fruit. The first kind, I like to call it poor reception. Okay, so this is the one that hears the message and doesn't understand it. That's the word sunyemi, yeah? Remember? Not because the message is too chim, I cannot understand, but because the heart is not ready to receive it. And here the evil one sees his chance. The evil one comes in, snatches the seed away, and the person doesn't even know. So the seed never gets a chance to grow because the heart was just not ready to receive it. Poor reception. The second is poor conviction. This is the one that doesn't nurture and cultivate that seed properly. It's a bit like a matchstick, right? You light the matchstick, and then it flares up immediately, but very quickly it dies down. And then you try to light the birthday cake, and then the fan blow, and then it, no more. Your birthday cake candles still haven't light yet. Jesus says it's because the word has not been planted deep within. When difficulties and challenges come because of living out the word, this person says, I'm going to take the easier path. This is too hard. Poor conviction. And the third kind I like to call poor traction. You know, traction, like the car needing traction to go up the hill to drive on the road. Yeah. So I like to call it poor traction because you know what's the opposite of traction? Distraction. So there are other things in the way, okay? There are other things in the way, things that distract us, things that prevent us from getting a good grip. Poor traction. And Jesus names two categories of this. There's the worries of this life, and then there's the deceitfulness of wealth. But don't misunderstand Jesus, right? He's not saying that we don't need to worry about our lives, don't care about anything. Neither is he saying that don't accumulate wealth. Wealth is just no good. It's all deceitful, right? What he's really saying is that these things tend to take our focus off the kingdom of God. They tend to turn our hearts away. Instead, what Jesus would have us do is to see these things in light of the kingdom of God that is breaking in, right? So, three things. Right? Poor reception, not open to God. Poor conviction, not sure about God. And poor traction, not focused on God. And I'm sure that as I'm naming these things, if we're being honest before God, God's already speaking to some of us here. God's already pointing out certain things in our life that fall into these three categories. I recently had a tremendous privilege. BGST was partnering with the Prison Fellowship Singapore to release a series, a biblical overview series that will be delivered to inmates who are in prison, literally bringing the gospel beyond the walls of maximum security. And as part of that process, I got to interview some ex-offenders. It was an interesting experience, right? These are rough people with rough backgrounds, not highly educated. But as I heard their testimonies one by one, I was shocked. And that shock gradually turned into amazement. And that amazement gradually turned into a rebuke for me. Because I saw their depth of trust in God, their gratitude towards God, their willingness to live for God, even though as ex-offenders, life is not the easiest, you know. And I also saw how much they knew the scriptures. So I was surprised and I asked them, why do you all know the scriptures so well? And then one of the inmates told me, "Aiyah, very simple lah. Because in the prison cell, we don't have much to read, ma. Not many books, but we got Bible, ma. So read the Bible, lor. And then read already, finish already, then how? Read again, lor." So God gradually spoke to me through the experience, right? I'm a fairly comfortable, well-educated guy, brought up in an intact family, serving the Lord in full-time ministry. In front of me were my brothers, often from distressed families, often struggling with the lure, the temptation to go back to their old ways of life, which is something they're more familiar with, something they're more comfortable with, working very hard to reintegrate back into society. And yet, despite those challenges, each of them displayed a receptivity to God that sometimes I don't have. Because they understand full well that if they were to rely on themselves, they will self-destruct. And so their whole lives, they turn and trust in God. That's tough, but that's something that they do. So you may be wondering at this point, what for us? What about us? So if I recognize that there are some parts of this tree soil problems in my life, what do I do with it? Brothers and sisters, the good news is that we can choose to be the good soil by the grace and power of God. And that's the point of Jesus' parable, right? Part of Jesus' parable is not intended to condemn the crowds which are gathered to him, but to prepare them to receive the message of the kingdom in a parable, so that the parable can do that work in creating the space in the heart for the kingdom of God. You get that? And here my new ex-offender brothers have some insight too. Because I asked them, right, what keeps you on the right path when it's so easy to go back to your old ways? Your old ways that got you in trouble. Let me share with you the simple answer that they gave me. They told me three things, and no matter who I asked, they would tell me the same three things: prayer, the Word of God, and the faithful community of God. Prayer, the Word of God, and the faithful community of God. I wonder if you're surprised. But let me tell you how profound this is. Prayer that keeps our hearts receptive to God. The Word of God, which properly read and applied, increases our conviction of the way of God. And the faithful community of God, where together we get traction to run this race, despite the distractions of life. And my ex-offender brothers were able to tell me these three things. They wouldn't articulate in this way, never would be able to, but they believed it with their whole lives. And that's the challenge for us, right? Do we truly believe that with our whole hearts? Allow me to conclude with a final twist, right? I began by telling you I'm not going to tell you the point of the parable or what my one-point sermon will be. I wonder if you have figured it out yourself. Here's a hint, right? What is the intent of Jesus in telling the parable of these four soils? let me suggest to you that the intent of Jesus is not be the good soil, don't be the bad soil. The soils are important, but they are the necessary transformation, not the end goal. Jesus is not trying to shame the bad soil as much as he's inviting people to bear the good fruit. You get that? It's not about shaming the bad soil, but an invitation to bear the good fruit. And this takes time, right? This takes time because everyone who is hearing Jesus' parables, they know that they sow the barley and the wheat in October, November, and then they have to till the ground, look after the crops, persevere for the next 5 to 6 months before they can see any semblance of fruit. And even then, it's not them. It's not their effort. It is God who causes the growth. So I showed you the IDMC Uni 2025 graduation picture earlier. Here is the 2021 cohort, my first cohort. Brings back good memories of social distancing, COVID batch, right? I was so privileged this week to meet them again, where most of them have graduated from university. Each of them, in their own ways, have allowed that word, that seed that has been sown, to grow, to bear fruit. They're serving in universities, they're serving here in Covenant EFC, they're serving beyond. And we dare not claim any of the credit for ourselves, it's the grace of God. But we dare by God's grace to yield our hearts to be that good soil. The good soil that will receive and perceive the message of the kingdom of God and then bear good fruit to the glory of God. And here's how Jesus ends. The seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one that produces a crop, yielding 160, 30 times what was sown. So as we end, I'm going to invite the worship team to lead us in the first verse of our response song, Speak, O Lord. After which I'm going to come back, I'm going to read the parable to us, and I'm going to call us to respond. Close our eyes, bow our heads. Every one of us, just imagine that you were there. Allow yourself to settle into the crowd. There's a breeze blowing. You can hear the waves splashing lightly on the shore. Jesus gets into the boat. And then he begins to speak. Most important parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some of them fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched. They withered because they had no root. There were other seeds that fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160, 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed that was sown along the path. The seed falling on the rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with great joy, but because they have no roots, they only last a short time. When trouble and persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed that fell on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what is sown. Now, my friends, I'm going to state some statements, right? With all eyes closed, all heads bowed. You can raise your hand more than once, but if that statement applies to you, I'd like you to raise your hand just between you and God. Nobody's looking around. Just between you and God, if that statement applies to you, just raise your hand and then I ask you to put it down, right? Four statements. You can raise your hand more than once. The first statement is this. You want to be the good soil. In the deepest recesses of your heart, you know you want to be fruitful for the kingdom of God. You want that root, that word to take root within you and to bear fruit. If that's you, I invite you to raise your hand. Raise your hand. 3, 2, 1. Can we put your hands down? Thank you, Lord. But for many of us here, myself included, we know there are hindrances. We know that there are parts of our hearts that are not the good soil. For some of you, you know that your heart is hard. You know that you don't really love God and His Word, but today you are convicted by the Spirit of God. And God is telling you, open your heart up to me as you hear this parable, as you hear the chisel going away at your heart. Open your heart up to me and receive my word. If that's you, would you raise your hand? 3, 2, 1. You may put your hand down. And then there are some of us where we hear the word and we receive it with great joy, but we know that the word has not really granted that conviction. And oftentimes, we end up with compromise. When difficult times come, we end up choosing the easier path. And today, you want to repent of that. You want to tell God, grant me that perseverance, that conviction that will help me to live out my life well for you in this kingdom. If that's you, would you raise your hands? Thank you, Lord. 3, 2, 1. You put your hands down. And finally, there's some of you here, you know you are being distracted by so many things in life. You may be here on Sundays, but Monday to Saturday, there are so many other things that result in poor traction of the word in your life. Distracted. And you're saying, God, enough of this distraction. I want to come to you fully, wholly, focusing on you and your kingdom. If that is you, would you raise your hands? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. 3, 2, 1. Put down your hands. Let me pray for us. Father, every time your word is opened, it calls us for a response. And today, Father, you see the response of your people. We desire, O Lord, to be the good soil that receives and perceives the kingdom and that bears much fruit that brings delight and glory to you. So would you help us, Father, by your power and by your grace, would you grant us this desire of our hearts? Not for us, not for our own benefit or glory, but for yours alone. We thank you for this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand as we sing the rest of the response song?
As we respond.
You had spent some time listening to God's Word, and we hope that the message has ministered to you. You can visit us at www.cefc.org.sg for more sermon titles. God bless you in your spiritual pilgrimage ahead.